on the other side of time. And he said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now in this 21st chapter, he takes off to the other end of time. See, this judgment of the wicked will be after the millennial age. And as far as we know, that will be the end of the measured ages or times. What will be after that, the scripture doesn't tell us a lot. But we had read earlier that from whose face the heaven and the earth fled away. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Whether it speaks of Gentile nations or whether it speaks of the literal sea, we know not. It's very possible that the earth will be renewed in the sense that you are, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride for her husband. Now, this is beyond the millennial age. We'll go back to a time at the beginning of the millennial age in later verses in the chapter. But here we're going beyond it. Notice now the third verse. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Now that's one of the most astonishing things. Knowing the human race, within itself, there isn't anything good about the human race. Now, you know that, and so do I. If you want to see yourself, you actually are. Look at some of your dreams. You can dream things that embarrass you just to think about them. And yet, in your dream, you're doing them. And yet, God, through redemption, through the work of Christ and bringing in a new creation, is going to bring about a dwelling place. And this word tabernacle means a cloth hut, or one made of green boughs, just a, what we'd call a brush arbor. And then the fourth verse shows us that it will be beyond the millennial age. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. Now, I could show you from Isaiah and Ezekiel that there will be death in the millennial age. Remember Isaiah 65:20, there shall be no longer an old man that has not fulfilled his days, nor an infant, but the infant shall die at 100 years of age. But here will be beyond death. The last enemy will have been conquered. And you know, we saw in the end of the millennial age, we saw fire come down from heaven and develop a mass group of people. That will mean death. But here's a point reached in prophecy and will be reached in the history of the human race, that there will be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Now the earth dwellers in the millennial age will have bodies that can feel pain, and pain is of God. I had a niece that the nerves died and she broke her foot and didn't know it was broken. You see, it's necessary that if something's wrong with you, that you're hurt. If you break your hand and you didn't know it, you might ruin that hand. Try to do things that you couldn't do. But now we've reached a point in the prophecy where there will be no such thing as pain. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new, everything. Now, the millennial age will not be the perfect state. You see, at that time, there will be people that will yield a feigned obedience. And after that, the devil will be loosed. But here, it seems to me that when we arrive here, we will be in the perfect stage. He that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And I think that's in the most absolute sense. I visualize that every child of God in the entire universe will have an immortal body. That means that this natural stage of life will have come to an end. Right. 12 times in this chapter, the word right in this respect is used. For these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. Earlier, when the 7 plagues were poured out, we read, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. My, the invitation of the Bible, I'm going to read this in the 22nd chapter. The 17th verse, the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is thirst come, And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. A friend of mine walked into a church one time, and right across the front in big letters, it says, whosoever will, let him come and take the waters of life freely. And he said to the minister that was with him, they misquoted that, didn't they? Why, no, he said. He went and got his Bible, and the word come isn't there in this latest. Whosoever will, let him take the waters of life freely. Notice it's all testifying. Take what is needed. Then he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Speaking of the new creation as a son of God. Then the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers, the whoremongers and the sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I said to a druggist this morning, the word pharmacy has come a long ways, hasn't it? And then he didn't know what it meant. He began to talk about pharmacies. And this word translated sorcerers in this eighth verse, it's used also back in the ninth chapter when it says, neither repented they of their murders nor their sorceries. That's the word pharmakia. One of my dictionaries, just after giving a Greek pronunciation, just says pharmacy. And what struck me was that in these end times, this word is used, and isn't it strange that we're reaching the end of the age? Now, when I was a child, I never saw a dope addict. I was a grown man before I ever saw a dope addict and knew it. I remember one time a man said to me, I was about, roughly speaking, 18 years old, he said, he's a snowbird. I didn't know what he meant. That's what they used to call a man that used the white powder. He's a snowbird. And the end of this age, in this week, I mean in today's news, I've forgotten whether it was cocaine or what it was, they made a haul on the West Coast. I think it is 58 pounds of pure stuff. They say it was the biggest haul they ever made, worth something like $30 to $50 million on the street. And isn't it strange that it has become such a great traffic? And we spend millions of dollars to rehabilitate people. And I told my son when he joined the Army, I said, son, I'd rather see you come back in a coffin than to come back home a drug addict. And I'm in it. He said, Dad, I'd rather come back a drug addict. I mean, come back in a coffin. They'll have their part in the lake of fire, which is the second death. Now, there came one of the seven angels, and we go back now. Now, it's great debate in Christendom whether we read about eternity here, beginning with verse 9 through 22:5, or whether we're reading of the time in the millennial age. And let me say this, those in the holy city, I don't view this as eternity, but they will be in the same state that they will be in eternity. They'll have their glorified bodies. They will no longer be dependent on earth's atmosphere, food, and water. That's what we need here. And it's gravity. We need its gravity. They won't be dependent on that anymore, and they will be in their eternal state, though we will not have reached what we call the eternal state yet. Well, this angel says, come and I'll show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. We read earlier, she hath made herself ready, and she was prepared as a bride adorned for her husband, back in the second verse of the 21st chapter and the 7th and 8th verses of the 19th chapter. He carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain. This is the fifth and last vision viewpoint. And he showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. The Jerusalem which is above, which is the mother of us all, this from Galatians. Abraham looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. They which declare such things say plainly that they seek a country. And God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. I feel that this is all the same city. I know that there are those that say otherwise, but I've learned that I have to teach what I believe and not what the other fellow believes. Having the glory of God and her light was like unto a stone most precious. This word light is phos there. The usual word for light is phos. We have so many Greek words in our language. You will see a photographer sometime. His name, a photograph, is made up of phos or photos, and grapho or graphe, light writing is what it means, to write with light, because all your film is just the light bouncing off of what is out yonder and registering on the film. And we marvel at the speed of light. But foster, probably where the word foster comes from. However, the Greek pronunciation is foster. It has a long O and a long A sound in it, omega and eta. Like a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Jasper, I'm not a specialist in gems, but most authorities agree that the jasper answers to our diamond. Remember that he that sat upon the throne in Revelation 4 was like a jasper and a sardine stone. You may remember that in the high priest's breastplate of Exodus 28, where it is described, the first and the last stone was the jasper and the sardine. One little boy said the sardine. Had a wall great and high and 12 gates, at the gates 12 angels and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Israel has provided the entrance to God. You know that, don't you? We're made partakers of their benefits. And the 12 apostles came from them. Jesus came from them. And the 12 tribes of the children of Israel will have their names on the 12 gates. Now, number 7 is associated with the church so much. It is 3 plus 4. 12 is 3 times 4. And notice the 12 here. Back in the 7th chapter, we read of 12 tribes, 12,000 out of each one of the 12 tribes. And here we read of 12 gates and 12 angels and 12 tribes. We read of 12 foundations, 12 names therein, which are the 12 apostles of the Lamb. We'll read that the city is 12,000 furlongs square and high. And the number 12 is written all over it. It is God's number of perfect government. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Now he's going to show us the bride, the Lamb's wife. He's going to show us all these decorations, these adornments. Read the Song of Solomon. Read the woman of Revelation 12, how she is adorned. He that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. And the city lieth 4 square, and the length is as large as the breadth. They measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. It's a cube, not flat like our cities. It's almost comical. We think of we call them skyscrapers. The Germans call them cloud scratchers. We think of the Empire State Building, but actually, does it reach very high? Get up in a plane in just a few seconds, you're far higher than that building. Actually, it doesn't, does it? Not compared with what we have here. Then he measured the wall, 144 cubits. It's possible that there will be a connection with the 144,000 and the wall. We don't say this dogmatically, we just say it as a suggestion. According to the measure of a man, that is of the angel that was showing John these things. Notice the 15th verse, he that talked with me. Then the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold. Now notice the difference in the wall and in the city, jasper and gold. Remember, it's the city that's going to be the bride of the Lamb. Now, people have said that this whole thing was going to be the bride. Well, she comes down, you will notice, as a bride adorned for her husband, the second of the 21st chapter. And adornment might be with other saints. Now take this, who's adorning? Let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of putting on a gold and so on, but let it be that which is in the sight of God of great price, a meek and a quiet spirit. That's a real adornment. That's from Peter 3, of course. And Paul said, and he's speaking to slaves when he said this in Titus 2, 9 and 10, that they might adorn the gospel of Christ. And so she will be adorned by the walls. I do not think of the 12 apostles as being a part of the bride. They will judge the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And the foundation of the wall of the city was garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper. Did you ever visit a ghost city? I visited what they call a ghost town in New Mexico, and there's one old colored man lived there. There's still quite a few buildings left, and it had been a gold mining town. And a town is made up of people. This city will be made up of glorified saints. I feel that there will be a material city there. The jewels, now God chose in the Old Testament to represent his people by jewels, the 12 apostles, I mean the 12 tribes, were pictured as 12 jewels in the breastplate of the high priest, and it said he would bear them on his heart when he went in before the Lord. There were 12 jewels put in that breastplate and a tribe of Israel engraven on each jewel. Now the statement in Malachi, when he cometh to make up his jewels, calling his people jewels, that word doesn't really mean jewels, but that is what God chose to represent his people. And so here this same thought is used. And since John was among the unlearned and ignorant men, I doubt if he had a great knowledge of gems. And if you'd ask me to describe these gems to you, now I can find the description. I could write it down and read it to you. Brother Copley has a writing about it. Yesterday, I looked up the meanings of each one of their words, like for the emerald, for example, and what the various stones mean, and you would wonder in retrospect how those particular names got attached to them. But God chose these to represent his people in this respect. Then the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. Now, a pearl is the only jewel, as far as I know, that is produced by a living creature. Others are produced in nature. And it is like Christ putting his beauty upon us. And there was the merchant that went forth seeking goodly pearls, and he found one pearl of great price, which we feel to be the bride of Christ. Well, perhaps we have a thought of that here in the pearls. 12 pearls, and I doubt if those will be little doors about like this. After all, that city is going to be 12,000 furlongs right out that way. And I would say that the gates will be in proportion. One man said that anything architecturally this big and this high, the gates would have to be 100 miles wide. You remember the song, any of you in the chorus? When the gates swing wide on the other side, where the flowers ever bloom, on the right hand, on the left hand, 50 miles of elbow room. Whether that would be true or not, I do not know. I'm just quoting. But anyway, then notice the city, the street of the city. It's in the singular here. Probably there's a street leading from each one of the gates, and the city will, if it's fashioned, if we're thinking of it like our cities, it will be interspersed. But it's called street, and it is gold, such a gold as we have never seen, transparent glass. On the radio today, that great company that was selling gold clear across the nation, the radio said in investigating their vault, they had some blocks of wood painted with gold paint, but not one piece of gold. And many people across the nation have been ruined. Well, this gold will be real. It will be transparent gold. I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Now, think of this. One day three men were with Christ, and he became transfigured before them. And there were two men appeared, Elijah and Moses. And then God himself spoke out of the cloud. What would have John have thought of Peter if Peter had said, John, let's run back to Jerusalem to the temple so we can worship? They didn't need a temple there, did they? You think the leper needed a temple when he came back and fell down at the feet of Jesus? You don't need a building when you're in the immediate presence of Christ. Worship him. That's why Jesus said, the hour is coming and now is when the worshipers of God shall worship God, the true worshipers, not in this mountain, neither Jerusalem, but in spirit and in truth. No temple will be needed. The Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Where God is, you may worship. Now notice some things that won't be needed. The city had no need of the sun. Now this will not be true on earth. I would advise you sometime soon in connection with this to get the true picture. Read Ezekiel 40 through 48 and you'll get an earth scene of a Jerusalem on earth. They will need the sun. This city won't need the sun, neither the moon to shine in it, for the Lord God, the glory of God, did lighten it, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor, this says, into it, I like the marginal better, unto it. I'll read this verse on the light in 1 Timothy 6. I might tell you that this whole phrase is just three words in Greek. The 16th verse of 1 Timothy 6, who only hath immortality. Notice this, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto. How would you boil that down to three words? One translator said this, inhabiting unapproachable light. And it is just three words in the Greek, whom no man hath seen nor can see. But notice, I wanted you to notice the light. Now here in Revelation, the Lord God and the Lamb are the light thereof. I suppose with our glorified bodies, we'll be able to stand in that unbearable light. Concerning himself, God said, there shall no man see me and live. On the earth, the kings, the nations of them which are saved. Now people bring up the question, will there be nations? Yes, they'll walk in the light of it. This is the millennial earth that we're talking about here. The kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor. The marginal says, and I feel correctly, unto it, because they will be earthly men. The gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. Now we read there will be no light, need no sun, no moon. Now, no night. Night is a great thing. I am thankful for the privilege of sleeping, because I need to sleep. They shall bring the glory and honor of the nations again unto it. There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life.